You're listening to Lunatic Radio.
Oh, Nick and the Bonus plays himself in pie.
Bitch pie.
He's banging the pie.
Now back to the show.
What up, everybody? It's the LunaticRadio.com show. Back from break, email to the show, LunaticRadio.com. I'm your host, Gary Dan. Alongside me is Ronnie B, CEO Rocket. Our guest today, Paul Schlinz, is joining us in studio. And joining us on the line is the man whose music you hear right now, Sage Francis. That's right, man.
Sage. Too much damage.
Sage, what's up, man?
Black kind of damage.
Sage Francis is apparently taking over the world.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah? How long have you been in the rap game?
On various levels since I was a little tiny plot.
Can I ask how old a guy are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
12.
12 years old.
Nice.
I also started when I was 10. That's what I'm thinking.
I actually started younger than 10. I started when I was eight years old, and when little kids do something, they get all enveloped in it, and if they like it enough. And so I started writing when I was 8, and I started rapping and recording myself. And then through the years, that just evolved and developed, and I learned more and more stuff. And when you were talking to me earlier on the phone, you were talking about 1987, and you kind of have a passion for hip-hop that was made in, you know, the earlier days.
Definitely.
I have to agree with you there. I think a lot more special music was coming out at that time.
Yeah.
That's what inspired me to do what I do.
Do you have any opinions on, like, the new crap that's out now? Because I can't relate to it. I don't know if it's English. I don't know what's going on with the... It's pretty much the southern rap that's taking over the world right now, right? I don't understand.
I think that's the southern rap is... I mean, you may not understand what they're saying, but that's probably some of the most interesting and new stuff that's come out of hip-hop in a long time, so I can't really hate on it too much. I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but at least there's a new sound going on. In fact, there's some friends of mine who only listen to it for the production. Like, they really like the beats. They think some really interesting stuff's happening with the beats. That's not how I rap. You know, that's not the kind of stuff I get down to, but I can respect it for what it is. I'm more fed up with people who are just doing the same old thing over and over. I can listen to Southern Bounce more than I can listen to 50 Cent. You know, just the boring New York sound, or the which isn't just New York. I mean, even California still will do the New York sound sometimes, and I'm sick of the California sound as well. And I'm sick of the underground sound as well. I'm sick of complacent musicians, I'm sick of complacent artists, so whatever. I think a lot of my music evolves out of that angst and constant discontent that I feel.
Sage, it's Ronnie Beans here. Let me ask you, do you remember the first hip-hop song you ever heard?
Yeah, actually. It may have not been the very first. I think the very first hip-hop song I heard was a Fat Boy song that some kid had in my fourth grade class on tape.
Nice.
And, but then when I was at home and there was a public service announcement on the television, it was a girl rapping about, I think it was about not smoking cigarettes, you know, just one of those public service announcement things, very poorly produced or whatever. And maybe it was even a local thing, but I kind of bugged out to it because I was like, this is what I was hearing earlier, you know, this is the stuff that my friend was playing me. I want to get this stuff on tape. And my aunt was just kind of, she made her, you know, she scrunched up her face all tight and was very disturbed by the notion. But yeah, ever since then, I mean, the next stuff that I got was, you know, the Run DMC tapes, the LL Cool J tapes,
right.
Rakim,
right.
Public Enemy eventually. Yeah. And
were you hooked, like, right away?
Public Enemy concert, and it was craziness.
So you were hooked right away, like as soon as you heard it, you were hooked.
Yeah, it was like ninjas, man. It was like I got that excited about ninjas and karate, you know. it was that kind of same kind of feeling where it just was like some magical land of like you know, you can jump up onto a tree branch with little difficulty if you're listening to hip hop. And so I come from Rhode Island. You know, it's not a very it wasn't saturated in hip hop to any degree. It was very difficult to track down hip hop records and find anything out about hip hop. I had to go through. Luckily I had a college radio station that reached my house, which came from Boston, and it was every Saturday from 11 to midnight. They had the rap explosion.
Yeah. I always remember the stations around here. Now, we're closer to New York City, so it wasn't that hard. But even the local stations wouldn't play any hip-hop until after midnight.
Yeah, and that was true for many years. I was, in fact, the first person, and I'm not talking about, like, Sugar Hill Gang or anything, but the first time I was able to hear hip-hop during the daytime was, like, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, when they came out with Parent System, like Supersonic by J.J. Fad. Like, all of a sudden, hip-hop, like, permeated the mainstream at that moment.
Yeah.
And made it a little more accessible to me, and they were selling hip-hop magazines at the supermarket, so I'd be able to learn about other artists through that. And I was pretty relentless in hunting down as much information as possible about all kinds of hip-hop, because actually at the time, everything that was hip-hop I thought was dope. I wasn't as fickle as I am right now.
Yeah. You know what I've been noticing about most of the guys that come out now, like a 50 Cent or a Fabulous, they all come out with their first album, they're all like kind of gangster and hardcore, you know what I mean? It's all image, no skill.
Yeah, and they end up singing R&B songs.
Yeah, yeah, then they end up singing it like a tune with a chick.
Yeah.
And it's all about love and me putting my nuts on your face or something. I'm looking at you, Ja Rule. Everybody has the same fucking career. That's what I'm saying, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's so repetitive.
Yeah, well, it happens that way because I feel like it's just like that pattern you can't escape once you get to a certain point in your career where record sale numbers actually dictate your level of success. You know, if you didn't sell 2 million records on this album, then you're a failure. So you start pulling out all the stops. And I don't know, that's a real cheap way to go about making music and making art. But hey, you know, if that's your goal. I mean, 50 Cent in particular was an artist who I originally had quite a lot of respect for, just because when he first came out and he did like the mad rapper shit, and he kind of dissed all the New York rappers at the time. This was in like the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
It was really ballsy. He had a lot of moxie. He had a lot of skill, actually, and I believe he still does. But I don't think that's what they're relying on in order for him to sell records.
Yeah, now it's like 50 Cent the corporation.
Right.
So it becomes a business. Yeah, right. Sage, let me ask you this: going back as far as you do, and going back as far as we do, are you dismayed or like angry? Like, I know what makes me angry is the fact that all the new guys now cannot put on a live show. And I remember back in the day, going to see Run DMC, going to see Public Enemy, KRS-One, those guys could kick it live, and nowadays they did horrible live.
Yeah, well, you just named the three livest, like, pretty much the three livest acts in hip-hop history. Mm. But also, hip-hop, I think through the years, has had a very difficult time putting on a really entertaining live show. I've seen them through the ages, and, I mean, to get people away from just pacing back and forth on stage is like pulling teeth. And it's true that a lot of people still don't know how to perform, and a lot of sound men don't know how to like treat hip hop music in their club.
Yeah.
There's acts that are out right now who are just so hungry, and it's the only way that they can push ahead of the flooded market, that their live show becomes something really energetic and interesting and unique and original, and those are the people that I always keep my eye out for, and they're out there. It's just they happen to not be as popular as all the other people that you see. I don't know what kind of like underground scene do you got going where you are?
None. Wherever it is that involves guns, don't go there. Sage, actually, you play with a band, right?
I play with multiple bands. I've had a lot of different outfits on stage literally and metaphorically. But currently, I'm really just doing the solo thing.
Yes.
Because I'm off tour this year, and I'm doing random shows wherever I think is an interesting place to play, and I'm just like I'll go up there with a CD player, and you know, half spoken word, half songs that are all mixed together, and I try to make it work, and it's been going really well for me. I mean, I've done that through the years, probably I'd say starting in '98, '99 when I started just being able to perform all by myself on stage and make it work out and have it be a really interesting experience. So I feel privileged to be able to do that. I know a lot of people aren't able to do that, so again, that's good stuff for me. But I like playing with the band too. It's just a whole different energy. It's a whole different compromise you have to make, and I'm not always totally feeling it.
The one thing I like about you, all your success comes from pretty much your doing, right?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, with the help of others up through, you know, through the ranks and all, if it wasn't for other people, I'd just be a spoken word poet. But with the help from music and producers and band members and whatever, we've pretty much blazed a pretty interesting path. Yeah, with no major money, with no backing, with really just elbow grease and touring relentlessly and putting out records that we pretty much had to bootleg on our own. I mean, I dug thousands of tapes, I burned thousands of CDs, sold them to the point where I could finally quit my job, and it grew and grew and grew, and with a lot of thanks to the internet, a lot of thanks to file sharing programs like Napster, and whatever the hell.
Sage is on MySpace. He's got more friends than friends. I don't know what the hell. He's got so many friends on MySpace.
So Sage, your four services like Napster, because they help get your word out. Is that what you're saying?
Say that again?
You just mentioned Napster. So your four artists using services like Napster to help get the word out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Napster was... I'm not talking about the Napster now. In fact, I think that's a program you have to pay for or whatever.
Right.
But when file sharing first started, that was a way for artists without money to reach the masses, you know. And in that, a song was able to sell itself. If you had quality music, people then would share it with everyone else. And it sort of, I think it helped, it really helped kickstart the independent movement in hip-hop and get people known who otherwise wouldn't have had the money to promote themselves outside of their local community. Because I was having a really hard time performing outside of Rhode Island if I didn't have the time or the freedom or the money to go elsewhere and promote myself or do, you know, shit like that. I was doing battles, you know, and I was doing poetry slams, and I was hitting up every single open mic that I could, but it just wasn't enough. If I couldn't get my music out there, then it was really difficult. And then when Napster came about, next thing I knew, I had show offers for Sweden and England and, you know, all over the country, and I don't know how that could happen without people sharing the music so freely.
I actually saw a clip of St. Francis in Greece, I believe.
That was a crazy show, man. Yeah.
I
noticed that was up on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw it on YouTube, and you were doing like a poetry reading, right? Something like that?
I started the set off with a spoken word poem called Mullet. And that's what's posted. But that's one of the shows where it was just me and a CD player. But, you know, after I did that piece, I went into the music section of the show.
It's freaking really great stuff, Ronnie B. You got to go check it out. The thing is, when I listen to Sage, I love it. But then I got to go back into a book and look up shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, what are you talking about? You have a college degree, right?
Oh, yeah, I got a college degree. That doesn't usually mean anyone's smarter than the next man.
Well, it does to us.
Sage, what do you think?
I don't think I use big words, usually. I kind of, I'd like to think I use the commoner's language more than most. But
We got a question from one of our listeners, White Disaster. He's asking if you're going to do any more work, I guess, with Slug from, Atmosphere?
Yeah. With Slug from Atmosphere?
Yeah, Slug from Atmosphere.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot. He's in New York right now. I actually didn't wake up in enough time to go check out the show. But Yeah, we stay in contact, and we always have plans of doing more music together, and we do so slowly. I can't make any official statement, but I definitely would say that at some point, Slug and I will appear on record again together.
Now, you've had your fair share of rap battles, right?
Yeah. The battle thing was pretty heavy from the late 90s until the early 2000s. And that was a big reason why my name even spread, in order for people to, like, wonder about who I was and then download my stuff online.
Yeah. I was watching one rap battle you had with some dude, some white kid. And he was just slamming you with all, like, curse words. He's like, F this, F that, rapping, just throwing in curse words, it seemed like. And Sage would come back and just, like, hit him with some crazy, like, lyrical crap, throwing, like, huge words that you don't think would rhyme with anything.
Right.
But he made it work, and the kid's just sitting there going, what? What'd you say? And everybody's going, we're from New York.
You guys don't use big words in New York?
Yeah, we use big words. Karen doesn't use big words. I don't use big words. I don't use big words.
Big words like helicopter?
Yeah. Well, slow down there. Slow down. Yeah, you got to keep them to two syllables, Sage.
Okay.
All right, everybody. We're talking to Sage Francis. Sage, what do you want to promote? You got the website, sagefrancis.net, right?
The label I'd rather promote over my shitty website. We got the strangefamousrecords.com because... we got some new projects coming out that I'll be featuring on, and nomore.org, which is an activist website that I put together with a friend named Bernard Dolan, and I think all those are linked from my website if people are interested.
The album,
a new album coming out with a spoken word cat named Buddy Wakefield from Seattle that we just agreed upon, and we're going to get that out in a couple months. So we're going to put some tracks up from that, and a guy named Prolific and Reanimator doing their album. So all those things are kind of have been consuming me as of late.
Guy's got a full plate of stuff going on.
Yeah, really.
Word up. The albums are A Healthy Distrust and Personal Journals. That's correct.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And those are the albums. You can get those on your website, sagefrancis.net?
Yeah, you get them at strangefamousrecords.com. It's our little online store where we make all my stuff available to the people if they are unable to get them at their local record shops.
Word up. I appreciate you coming on the program, Sage Francis.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me some shine.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Word up. And thank you for bringing the English language back to rap music. All right, everybody. Sage Francis from LunaticRadio.com show. Sage, take care of yourself, buddy.
Yeah, you too, guys. We good.
All right. Man. Later.
Peace.
Sage Francis, everybody. Word them up, everybody. With that, we'll take a break. Come back on the LunaticRadio.com show right after this.
Hey, this is John Reap, a.k.a. Amy Guy, and I love Lunatic Radio. These fuckers are crazy.